to AWARE. We are dedicated to communicating information that inspires your positive growth and change. Are you interested in a peaceful planet? Are you interested in optimal health? Are you living with purpose? Are you enjoying your life? We realize each person can make a difference, and our mission is to empower your awareness. The choices that you make in every moment shape your life, and we encourage you to realize that you have your own answers and to always listen to your own truth. We invite you to stay aware. Welcome to the AWARE Show Teleseminar Series. I'm Lisa Garr, and today, very, very incredible guest is joining us. I'm so excited because this is the first time that I have had the amazing Brian Tracy on the AWARE Show Teleseminar Series. He is really one of America's leading authorities on helping people achieve personal effectiveness, and he's spoken on stages worldwide for 30-plus years. I've seen him speak on stage, and he is such an incredible motivator. And he has found out specific distinctions about specific people, I mean successful people, that he's going to share with us today. We're talking about, on this whole series, the theme is the law of attraction. And have you ever maybe embraced the concept of the law of attraction and then later you've been surprised to find out that you didn't get the results that you expected, or maybe you didn't even get any results at all? Or have you ever asked yourself why other people seem to make money but you don't, or they seem to have success and you don't? And maybe you have excuses or stories around that. Well, this conversation today will disappear all of that because we're getting into the practical how about becoming specifically clear about what it is that you want. So, Brian, could you start off by telling us what do you think is the main reason that people do not achieve success?
I'm working on a book now, which will be out next year, called Earn What You're Worth. And what it basically says is that if you want to enjoy a good living in a commercial society, you have to offer something of value so that you can get money with which you buy things. So you have to look upon yourself as an economic entity, almost like they say that the purpose of a piece of real estate is to be developed to its highest and best use. Well, the purpose of an individual is to develop yourself to your highest and best use so that you can earn the highest income possible doing something that you're good at and that you enjoy. And an avocation is playing music on the side and writing poetry and collecting butterflies.
Right. And those things sometimes distract you because they're easy and you flow with them and so forth, but they're not the things that will, as you say, offer a service to the world or offer a contribution in some way to the world. So let's talk about some of the things that waste our time. I was listening to the CD that you wrote on simplifying your life, and that was very, very, very powerful for me. Very powerful.
Well, it's very much as if you decided to drive across a strange country with no road signs and no road maps, and you started off with no goal. You would drive forever, and that's what most people do in their lives. That's why coming back to clarity, the greatest time waster of all is not knowing exactly what it is that you want to accomplish. And as a result, they say if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there.
Yeah,
and
most
people are in what is called a reactive mode, is they just react and respond to things that are happening every day. They're like people driving a bump car in the carnival, is every new event, circumstance, phone call, or tweet gets them off in a different direction.
Right.
Whereas people who really know what they want and are really clear about it, I have a time management system that I can teach a person in about 1 minute. It's called the AB system. And I teach senior executives this. I say the AB system is simply this, is there are two types of activities in your life. There's A activities that move you toward what you say you really want, your goals. And there are B activities that do not move you toward your goals or even worse, move you away. So the AB system is simply this, is do only A activities. Do only things that are moving you right now toward the goals that you say you want the most. And that's the key secret to success. Anybody starting anywhere in life who uses the AB system will run circles around a person who does not.
Does this have a, does it represent a challenge for people that have a hard time saying no?
Yes,
and how do you teach that?
Well, the answer is it really has to do with your desires. See, a stronger desire will always overcome a weaker desire. So that's why Napoleon Hill said that the starting point of success is intense desire to achieve a specific goal. However, if your desire is to be liked, if your desire is to get along with people, if your desire is to be friendly, then what will happen is every single request from someone else will take you off your goal because your desire to be liked is greater than your desire to achieve your goal.
That is true. That is true. So then you have to, is it really mostly about focusing your desires? Or
yes,
is it then, more?
And what you have to say is, I really want to get along well with other people. Do you know, Lisa, 50% of working time is wasted. It's wasted in doing things that have zero value to the job, which is why so many people not only are not getting promoted, but they're unemployed, and now half the population has been unemployed for more than 6 months. And lots of people for a year or 2 years, and some people are looking at never working again. Now, do you know why? It's because when they check their references, they'll find, well, this is a very nice person, gets along with their coworkers, but just doesn't get much done. And nobody today can take a chance to hire somebody who doesn't get much done. So 50% of working time is wasted, and of that, 37% of the total is wasted in idle chit-chat with coworkers.
Wow.
Just idle chit-chat, sitting around, talking, shooting the breeze, and how's it going? Did you watch TV?
Right.
Now it's getting wasted on social media. It's up now 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours a day on Facebook and Twitter.
Wow.
And this is killing people, Lisa.
Wow.
Actually, it's killing people who have any desire at all to create a wonderful life. Because the only way you create a wonderful life is you get really, really good at contributing something of value to other people.
I have been challenged with the whole Facebook, Twitter conversation because I don't have an extra minute to contribute to that, but I want to because the listeners respond with such great questions or they had an incredible impact from a call or something like that happened. And I want to say, you know, so did I. This happened for me too. I've changed this about. I mean, I really want to get into it. I notice Oprah does this. And I'm thinking, who could have less time in her life than Oprah?
Well, you can be absolutely sure that Oprah does not spend 1 second on Twitter or Facebook. She has staff who does it.
Well, then that person is very creative because it sounds exactly like her.
Yeah. I have 45,000 Facebook fans and 65,000 Twitter followers.
Oh,
I'm in the top 1,000 in the world of 750 million Facebook fans. I mean, I'm in the top 1,000 in the world with regard to Twitter. And the reason is because my staff takes care. I will sometimes contribute something to the dialogue, and then my staff will take care of all the answers.
Ah. Uh-huh.
And if something's really important, it'll get to me. But that's why I can have a presence. But for most people, you have to understand, I heard this wonderful line last week. I want you to write this and engrave it in stone, is that social networking is basically social not working.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Which means that it's contributing no value to your life or the lives of anybody else. So what you are doing is you're wasting your own life and you're wasting the lives of others. And people have got to be given a shake. We're at the end of an age of affluence that no country has ever seen in all of human history in America. And now the credit card companies are calling in for payment. The country is bankrupt, and 20 million people are out of work, and they're walking around like victims of a bomb blast saying, what happened? Well, the answer is the party's over. The punch bowl's been taken home, and the guy's there at the door with the bill, and we owe $271 trillion in immediate, medium-term, and long-term debts that we have racked up with no money in the bank. And for the average person, that's too overwhelming. So the average person has one responsibility. It's become very good at doing something that represents real value and makes a contribution to the life and work of other people. And do nothing but that. If you're a young person and you want to wonder how do you get a nice home, apartment, car, travel, everything else, is get really good at making a valuable contribution to the lives of others.
Hmm. So the value of Facebook and the contribution that that gives is not monetizable, correct?
No, there's a line that says amusing ourselves to death is what we're doing with social media, is we're amusing ourselves to death. We're amusing ourselves into poverty and into the poorhouse.
I mean, but if Facebook and Twitter are some of the biggest contributions, or not the contributions, but they're some of the biggest businesses out there, and they're valued at billions and billions of dollars, you're basically saying that they're wasting people's time.
Well, they are a good communications media. Let me put it this way. I've always said that television is a wonderful servant, but a terrible master. And Facebook today is a wonderful servant, a wonderful tool to work with, to communicate with your friends, to keep in contact, but a terrible master. If it starts to dominate you, you know, the average adult is up to between up to 5 hours and 15 minutes a night on television. And now it's starting to shift, and younger people today are watching less television, which is driving the major networks crazy because they just don't know how to get those advertisers back. And they're shifting onto Facebook. They're shifting to social media. But they're still spending 5 hours a day amusing themselves to death, not working, doing things that contribute no value to anybody, but just entertainment to themselves. So there's a place for that. It's like eating. Is a good thing to do, but stuffing your face seven times a day is too much.
Right. Okay. So yeah, this makes sense. So you are the king of time management. You have so many different organizations within your organization. You've written multiple books. You speak across the country. So I'm going to listen to you when it comes to time management. And you even wrote, I mean, how to master your time. You have this down. So what would you say is the key? The key, mastering time, and then what does that have to do with clarity?
Well, I started off very humbly. I did not graduate from high school. I left high school in the bottom half of the class, and the only job I could get was washing dishes. And I washed dishes until I lost that job, and then I washed cars in a car lot, and I washed floors with a janitorial service. I thought washing was going to be in my future, but it was a downhill trend. And then I started drifting, and I worked in sawmills and lumber mills. I worked in the bush with a chainsaw. I worked in construction labor. I worked on farms and ranches. I did a laboring job for several years. And then one day I began asking the question, why is it that some people are more successful than others? Now, this question changed my life. And I learned later, I began to study philosophy and metaphysics and history. I learned later that it's not uncommon for a question to come along like Einstein asked, why do things happen the way they do? And he came up with a theory of relativity. The question will come along, and it'll set you off in a different direction for the rest of your life, which it did to me. Well, when I couldn't find a laboring job, I got into sales. And in sales, I worked my head off, and I worked long hours. I worked 14 hours a day. I'd start at 7:30, 8 in the morning when people came to work, cold calling, and I'd knock on doors all day long, and then in the evenings, I'd go out and knock on the doors in the neighborhoods and apartments until 9 or 10 o'clock at night. And I just worked and worked and worked. And sometimes I'd go 14 hours and not make even a sale. And I was selling a $20 item door to door.
Oh, my goodness.
I make no sales at all. And I was living in a small boarding house, and I had to make sales or I wouldn't have a place to sleep. I'd be sleeping on the street.
Wow.
And so I say I never missed a meal, but I did postpone quite a few indefinitely. And then I went up to one of the top salespeople, and again, this changed my life. I began asking, why are some salespeople more successful than others? So I asked him what he was doing. He was making 10 times as much as anyone else, and he told me, and I did what he was doing, and it changed my life. My sales started to go up, and I said, well, what else? He said, well, have you read in selling? Have you listened to any audio programs? Have you been in any course? I didn't even know there was anything like that. So I became literally a glutton for learning and have been all my life.
Yes.
Is to learn how to get better. How can I get better? And my sales went up and up, and I recruited other people, and I taught them what I learned, and their sales went up, and I became a sales supervisor, then a sales manager, then put in charge of a country, then in charge of six countries, and then went from literally rags to having a pocket full of money all the time in less than a year. And it's not because I'm a great salesperson. It's just because I learned that there is a combination to the lock of selling. And if you learn the combination and memorize it, you can make sale after sale after sale. And if you don't, you'll spin the dials forever. And so I went out and said, here's the combination. There's seven numbers in the combination for the lock of selling. There's seven in management. There's seven in neurosurgery. There's basically five to seven numbers in the combination for any profession. And what you do is you find and you identify those key skills, and then you make a plan, and then you master each of the skills. And here's another discovery, is that your weakest key skill sets the height of your income. Your weakest important skill in your field sets the height of your income. So you can be good at a whole bunch of things, but wherever you're weak, that holds you back more than anything else. So one of the things I encourage people to do is to identify that skill. What is the one skill that if you are absolutely excellent at it, would help you the most to increase your contribution, to increase your income? And whatever it is, set it down as a goal, make a plan, work on it every day. And here's the second, another thing that changed my life is all skills are learnable. Is every single skill that you need to have a wonderful life is a learnable skill. You can learn it by simply settling down. Now, I just was listening to a success author. I listen to audio programs all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he said there's two keys to success. He said, first of all, determine what you want, your goal, and then determine what you're going to have to do to get it and what you're going to have to stop doing in order to do what you have to start doing.
Mm.
And what you have to stop doing is one of the most important things in the world. And what you're going to have to stop doing is fun things, easy things, useless things, things that contribute nothing to your life. You know, Ogden Nash once wrote a wonderful poem, but it basically said there's two types of sins in life. There's sins of commission, where you do something, and there's sins of omission, where you neglect to do something. And one of the things that I learned, which again had an effect on me, is the things that you neglect to do often have the greatest impact on your life in the long term. The failure to develop a skill, the failure to develop a key skill, to put everything aside until you master the skill.
So when you said stop doing fun things, you mean stop doing fun things without meaning?
The thing is, I used to ask in my time management programs, I said, in the course of a regular meal, you have the soup, the salad, the main course, and then you have dessert. Now, where does dessert come? And the answer is, well, dessert comes at the end.
After the meal.
That's right. Just as a child, you were told you finish your dinner and you get dessert.
You can have dessert.
Well, so I say the key to success in life, in time management, that self-discipline, is have dinner before dessert. Do what is hard and necessary and important before you do what is fun and easy and irrelevant. Have dinner before dessert. And people say, and then they had the bumper sticker that says, have dessert first, life is short, you know, that sort of
thing.
Right,
right, right, right.
Well, this is loser talk. People who talk like this are people who have no future. And you don't take advice from people who have no future.
You know, you have a good point, because you still vacation and you still do all those fun things in life, but you do them because you've worked to that point. I always say work hard, play hard. That's one of my mottos in life is, once I got everything done, then I can go and have a great time and play full out with my family, knowing that things are taken care of. But I build that time in, though, because family to me is very, very important. So, and if I didn't have fun and play with my daughter, I have a younger child, then it would hurt other areas of my life. So I have to, but sometimes, Brian, I get very, very perplexed with, it's the working mom syndrome maybe, but the time for play with my daughter is as important to her as the time for focused work is for me. That is her zone, and this is my zone. So how do you tell the difference here?
Well, let me tell you a little story, and then I would like to sort of launch into how we develop absolute clarity in order to activate the law of attraction much faster and much more predictably in our lives.
Okay.
So let me start with the story. Once upon a time, there was a nuclear power plant, an electrical generating plant, that was suffering severe mechanical difficulties. And they tried to solve it, but they couldn't, and the plant was down 40%, and it was losing a fortune in electrical power generation. So they brought in an expert from MIT, and the expert spent about 2 days walking around the massive power plant, looking at all the dials and gauges and ammeters and barometers, and finally he climbed up on a ladder, and he said, this is the problem, and he took a big black felt marker out of his smock, and he put a big black X on one of the gauges, an 18-inch gauge with big numbers on. He said, this is the problem. He said, replace this apparatus, this gauge is attached to, and the plant will be back up to full power. And he said, thank you very much. Got down off the ladder, took off his smock, drove back to the airport, flew back to MIT in Boston. Well, they went to work, they stripped it all down, and they found, lo and behold, deep within this plant, there was a major mechanical apparatus that was invisible or undetectable from the outside. So they replaced it completely with new equipment, threw in all the switches, and the whole plant went back to full power. And everybody was happy and high-fiving, and yay, this is great. And everybody's happy for another week until they got a bill from the expert for $10,000 for services rendered. And the plant manager called in the chief maintenance engineer, and he said, look at this. He said, the guy comes out here, stands around for a couple of days, writes 1X on one gauge, and charges us $10,000. That's an awful lot of money for that amount of work. He said, yeah, that's more than we make in a month or two. Yeah, that's a lot of money. We should make him itemize his account. Yeah, let's make him itemize his account. So the plant manager wrote back and said, dear sir, you know, with all due respect, all you did was write 1X on one gauge. $10,000 seems like a lot of money for that little amount of work. Could you itemize your account in greater detail? So, 2 days later, got back a new bill, and it said, for writing X on gauge, $1. For knowing which gauge to write X on,
$9,999. Right.
Now, again, I heard this story many years ago, and it sort of sunk into my subconscious mind, and then it came to the top, and it became a central part of my teaching for a decade. I call this the focal point, the X. What is the X factor? Where do you put the X in your life? Where do you focus your time, attention, and energy? Because your choice determines your entire life. Your entire life is determined by where you're focused. And so we say that there's four areas of focus in life, clarity and focus. And whatever you focus on intensely, with emotion, with clarity, you attract more and more into your life. You set up a force field of energy, and you send out vibrations, and those vibrations, like a radio sending and receiving station, you broadcast and people phone in. As you broadcast energy, you attract into your life people and circumstances in harmony with that energy. So the first area has to do with your income and your career. Yes.
Brian, if you could just move a little closer to the mic. For some reason, they got soft.
Oh, okay. How's that?
Okay, much better. So okay. The first is, because this is so good. So the first four areas of clarity. Okay, the first
okay.
one is.
The first area is income, money, and finance.
Okay.
Everybody's concerned about their income. So where do you put the X in terms of your income? And what we found is that top people in the top 10%, focus on hourly rate. They focus on how much they earn each hour. They don't think about their income in terms of how much they earn in a month or a year. They think about how much they earn each hour, and they're determined to make every hour as productive as they possibly can. You see, when you start to think in terms of monthly or annual pay, then it's very easy to waste your time. So today, it's quite common amongst 80% of the population, the 80% that has no future, is going nowhere, deeply in debt, worried about credit cards, gets up at night, looks at the McDonald's list and wonder if they can afford an extra piece of cheese on their McDonald's burger because they're broke. And 70% of Americans have no savings. 70% of Americans live from paycheck to paycheck. And the next 10% have a couple of dollars saved. Anyway, so what they think about is how much they earn in a year. So therefore, they have Blue Monday, where you just kind of come to work and shoot the breeze with your friends and have some coffee and go for lunch and go drinking afterwards. Then they have hump day, which is Wednesday. We're almost finished with the week. And then thank God it's Friday where you don't do any work because you can get it all done next week. This mentality, and if you're surrounded by people, it's called the herd mentality, you know, the gregarious instinct. If everybody around you is talking like this, then you think, well, that's the way it is.
And you're trying not to work, yes.
Yeah, they're just basically killing time. And then they're surprised when they're laid off and they want to sue. Anyway, the top people say, all right, what is it that I get paid for? And we teach something that will change the lives of the people listening to this. It's so profound. I used to charge my clients thousands of dollars to teach them this, and they would go out and double and triple their income in as little as a month. And it's called the Law of Three. The Law of Three says that if you make a list of everything you do in your job in a week or a month, you'll find there's only three things that contribute 90% of your value to your work. Only three things. And you can be a doctor, a lawyer, an Indian chief, an architect, an engineer, a salesperson, or a radio broadcaster. There's only three things you do that contribute 90% of the value. Everything else is in the bottom 10%. So if you have 30 things that you do in the course of a week or a month, only three of those things account for most of your income. And so how do you figure out what those three are? Well, I call these the three magic questions in terms of clarity. First question is, if you could only do one thing all day long, which one activity would contribute the most value to your work? One thing. And usually that pops out at you.
Yeah.
And then question number two is, if you could only do two things all day long, what would be number two? And if you could only do three things all day long, what would be number three? And I'll take my business owners through this exercise in the first morning of the first day of my program.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just shocked. They're just shocked. Because it's clear. It's like pop, pop, pop. It's clear what the top three are.
Yeah, now, right.
And I'll say this. If you don't know what your top three are, you have no chance. You have no chance in a competitive society. You've got to find out. You've got to ask your boss, ask your coworkers, ask your customers, sit and look at the wall, make a list. But those three questions will cause them to pop out.
Yeah.
Surprise, surprise, those three are hard. They're difficult. They take time. You have to prepare for them. And the 10% of activities is the preparation to do those big three. But
and
those are the things that if you do them and do them well, will have a profound effect on your life. So here's the great rule for success. Do fewer things, but do more important things, and do them more of the time, and get better at them. Just
that
let me repeat
it.
This. Do fewer things,
okay.
Do more important things, do them more of the time, and get better at them. And within those four principles, people literally walk out and go from rags to riches. I've had people come back and say, you made me a millionaire.
Wow.
I was drowning in my job. There's so many things, phone calls and messages and everything else. And then I realized it. I just spoke to a really wonderful woman. She's a time management expert named Julie Morgenstern. Wrote a book last year called Don't Check Your Email in the Morning.
Oh.
And then she goes on to explain, she's an expert, she goes on to explain that there's nothing there of great consequence. You certainly don't check your email all night. Some people leave their email on all night and they get up in the middle of the night to see if somebody sent them some spam.
Oh, wow.
And they get up in the morning, they run and they check their email. Just turn it off.
Right.
Don't check your email in the morning. And it won't make a darn bit of difference.
Right. I know. I have that. I don't do that. I don't check my email first thing in the morning. Sometimes I don't get till later in the day. But it's you mentioned four areas of clarity in
right.
your life, and I'm writing I love this. So
okay.
You said
number two
was
has to do with your relationships with your
okay.
family, your children, the people who are most important to you. So we say, what is the X factor in relationships? And it is FaceTime.
Okay. Yep.
It's always FaceTime. So what do top people do is they organize their life and time. They realize that the purpose of work is so that I can create and have more FaceTime. It's not to earn more money. It's to do as much as I possibly can in the course of the day. And by the way, I've taught women with children this simple principle, and they've gone back and doubled and tripled their productivity and cut down their work days by 2 or 3 hours so they had more FaceTime with their family, especially their children.
Uh-huh.
Because much of the time we spend is in that 10% of things
mm-hmm.
that are completely irrelevant. So FaceTime means that you organize your life so that you can spend as much time as possible face-to-face with the people you care about the most.
Huh.
And when you start to think about that, it changes the whole way you organize your life.
So you can spend as much time as possible.
As much time as possible. And so therefore, for example, so this is really interesting. People come up and they shoot the breeze with you at work.
Right.
So what you have to realize is that time is fixed. There's only a certain amount. So if somebody at work shoots the breeze with you and you sit there and talk to them for 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes, and people have no idea how fast time passes when they're shooting the breeze at work. They just blink and suddenly, oh, my God, it's half an hour's gone by. Well, that time is being taken away from your children. Because you can't have it twice. You've got to either use it at work, wasting your time with your coworkers, or you can get your work done during that time and go home and be able to spend it with your family. So the question you always have to ask is, do I like this person at work more than I care about my children?
Wow.
Is shooting the breeze with this person at work more important to me than having time with my family? I say it's face-to-face, head-to-head, heart-to-heart, knee-to-knee. That's the only time that matters. And so your job is to be very strategic in organizing your time. So someone says, have you got a minute to talk? Yes, but not right now. Let's talk after work. Right now I've got to get back to work. Why don't you go down the hall and talk to her and ruin her future? But you're not going to do it for me. And I just tell people, the rule is work all the time you work. You must understand that work is not an extension of school where you go to play with your friends. Work is where you're hired to give a certain amount of money in exchange for contributing a certain amount of work, a certain amount of labor, contribution. So your job is when you go to work, work. If you start at 8:30, you work all day long. You don't waste time. You don't chat. You're friendly. You get along well. You're helpful. You're kind. You're courteous. You listen, so on, and get back to work. And so at the end of the day, you're all caught up. You're ahead of the curve. And other people scrambling around saying, oh, I got so much to do. No, you don't have so much to do. Average American is working 32 hours a week. Fully employed American, that's they say 40. 8 of those hours are lunch and coffee breaks. So it's 32 hours. Of the 32 hours, 16 is wasted completely. 16? So there's only 16 hours of work. And of those 16, people do things of low value or no value, and they can't understand why they're not getting ahead. This is not a secret. This has been verified by thousands of tests and surveys. So all you have to do to totally transform your life and your future is to work all the time you work. Be very clear about the most important goals that you need to achieve and the most important tasks you need to engage in to achieve those goals, and do them all day long.
So as you said, do fewer things, do more important things, do them more of the time, and then get better at them. So that will indeed shorten your work life.
Yes, and you'll have much more time to spend face-to-face time. 85% of all your happiness and joy in life will come from other people. There's no joy in things. There's no joy in cars. There's no joy in food. There's momentary pleasure.
Right.
But the joy is the time that you spend face-to-face with important people.
Yes, that is absolutely true. Absolutely true. Relationships. So, okay, so income and relationships are certain areas of your life to get clear on. And now what's the third one?
The third one has to do with health and energy.
Okay.
Now, today, we, irrespective of the politics, we have the finest health care system in the world. 85% of Americans prior to the big debate were very happy with their health care system. There's only 15% of people who have a problem. And so what we're doing is we're upending the entire medical system for that 15%, three-quarters of which are either illegal immigrants or people making more than $50,000 a year who either cannot buy health insurance or who choose not to. But I won't go into that. The point is we have a great health care system and that you can live longer and live better today than has ever been possible for human beings in the history of mankind on Earth. We have the best health care system in the world, irrespective of all the nonsense about how the British system or the French system is better. It's simply not true. They gerrymander their statistics, so it looks like they're doing well, but Americans live longer, recover faster, have higher cure rates for cancer, heart disease, and everything else. So my point is, make a decision to live a long, healthy life, and where do you put the X? Well, in this case, I say there's two X's. One X goes on waist size. And this is, as you know, the biggest problem in America. 70% of Americans are overweight. 30% of Americans are obese. That means they're 20% or more above their ideal weight.
Uh-huh.
So we have what they call us now in Britain is porcus americanus.
Wow.
Just fat Americans.
Wow.
And wherever they go, they're fat. I travel all over the place, and I'm just staggered. But why are people fat? There's one way to have fabulous health. It's eat less and exercise more. Five words. Eat less and exercise more. You know, one of the top fitness gurus on television said, all of health is simply mathematical. It's calories in, calories out.
Mm-hmm.
This is all. It's not a mystery. It's calories in, calories out. You want to lose weight? Burn up more calories than you take in.
Than you put in, right.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So I say concentrate on waist size because here's what psychologists have found. Paying attention to anything improves it in that area. It's called the observer bias. If you pay attention to how you're sitting, let's say you're thinking of your stance, your back being straight, leaning away from the back of your chair. If you just start to pay attention to how you sit better. If you pay attention to how you cook better. If you pay attention to how you drive better. I remember once I got a speeding ticket. It cost $300, and I made a decision that, damn, I'm never going to get another speeding ticket. This is such a waste of money just to get a speeding ticket, you know, and I never did. When I get in my car and I start to go too fast, I suddenly become aware that I'm going too fast and I slow down. Even if there's nobody there, I slow down. I've never had a speeding ticket since.
Back to the law of attraction is what you put your attention on will
what
manage.
What you put your attention on, and it's so powerful. So the observer bias says that the very observation of an event changes it, and with regard to a behavior, improves it. So if you think of your waist, of course, weigh yourself on a regular basis, but just think of your waist. And every time you look at any kind of something you put in your mouth, say, is this going to help or hurt my waistline? Because your waistline basically is the real measure of for yourself and for everybody around you of how healthy you are. You know, whenever you see a person who's really trim, you say, geez, you look fit. The person could may not have exercised for 5 years, but say, geez, you look fit because you've got such a trim waist. The other factor, the other X factor for me is exercise. And the ideal is about 200 minutes a week. My goal is always 300 minutes a week. And that can be anything from walking to vigorous exercise to swimming to treadmills to tennis to golf or anything else. But just moving 300 minutes a week and watching what you eat will guarantee you'll be one of the healthiest, fittest, trimmest. And in terms of self-esteem and self-confidence, you'll feel wonderful about yourself.
Absolutely.
And it's totally a matter of personal choice. So keep thinking, are you doing 200, 300 minutes of exercise a week? Just get out there and walk around the block.
That's perfect. So you're putting your attention on the exercise. You're putting your attention on going the speed limit. You're putting your attention on focusing on work. It's what you're putting your attention on. Yeah. And this is so incredibly practical because you're really not telling us what not to do. You're telling us what to do. And I love that. Okay.
And the wonderful thing, Lisa, you start to get ideas. Whenever you start to think about what to do, and you take action. You asked me earlier in your notes for our show about action orientation. So I'll jump ahead and I'll jump back. But each time you take action in the direction of something that you want, three things happen. First of all, your self-confidence increases. The very act of acting increases your self-confidence. You may be unsure. I don't know if it'll work. What if it's a waste of time? What if I lose my time or my money and so on? But the minute that you act, as Goethe said, the minute you act, nature acts too. And all sorts of things start to happen, start to help you. So the second thing that happens is you get feedback immediately when you take action. You get feedback to go left, go right, change course, change direction. The third thing is that you get ideas on how to improve what you're doing. So by taking one step, and the rule is you can always see far enough to take one step in the direction of something you want. You can always see one step ahead. And if you'll take one step, you'll be able to see the second step. And you get self-confidence, ideas, and feedback simultaneously. This is why all successful people are in motion. They're taking action in the direction of their goals. They're not sitting there. So when I talk to my audiences, I say, once you have a goal, take action immediately. Take action fast, like a switchblade. Move. As soon as you move, your self-confidence goes up, your motivation goes up, you start to get ideas, you start to feel happy, your brain releases endorphins. So you'll find that all successful people are intensely action-oriented.
So that's the bottom line, is you just make your, this is all about the focus. Now, Brian has this incredible CD set, and there are, let's see here, there's 10 different CDs on exactly how to, what he talked about in terms of the focal point. The CD set is called The Power of Clarity, and you can look at the special offer, because Brian and his team have consolidated the price point on several of his different products, which is awesome, which we really appreciate it. If you go to theawareshow.com/Tracy, T-R-A-C-Y, if you go to that website, then you'll be able to see what The Power of Clarity is. And it is a CD set, and then there's also on that CD set a workbook that is enclosed that you can use on your computer and so forth to be able to go through this and to really, really gain clarity. I was mentioning earlier one of the CDs that I really liked that I was listening to is How to Simplify Your Life, and really the most practical ways to make you successful and balanced in your life with your family and the relationships and so forth is everything that Brian was talking about, getting better and better at the two or three things that you are the best at and then basically delegate everything else is one of the ways to do this. But there's laws of complexity and all sorts of things that he describes around this. And the other thing is the law of attraction and action. And that was really one of the clearest representations that I have seen and heard on the law of attraction. He broke down the 7 basic laws of cause, effect, control, belief, all these great laws. And it's all about exactly what Brian's talking about. This is a way to put this into action for you, a very incredible CD set. So go on to that website, which is theawareshow.com/Tracy, and you can find out the price point on that, and all the information is all there for that. So I don't want to get you off track here. So we were getting on to, I'm taking my notes here, four areas of clarity in your life: income, relationships, health, and energy. What is the fourth, Brian?
The fourth has to do with financial independence. Now, this is so, so important today. Most Americans are broke, as I said, and it's going to get worse before it gets better. So every adult has the responsibility to achieve financial independence. They have the ability, they have the responsibility to get their finances under control, to get out of debt and stay out of debt, and then to accumulate finances so they reach the point where they never have to worry about money again. And the interesting thing is that if you don't think about this and plan it and discipline yourself and work on it, it'll never happen. You'll be under the gun, under that sword of Damocles, worrying about money all your life, which, as you know, because we've all been there, is a terrible way to live.
Right, very survivalistic,
yeah. Terrible way to live. You're thinking about money and worried about money and wanting to do things and not being able to afford it and look at the price of everything and have this sinking feeling in your stomach. And I've had it all. So what you do is you calculate the number, and this is your focal point. This is where the X goes. And the number is the amount of money that you will have, so you never have to work again. And I found this out in studying thousands of self-made millionaires. You'll find that one of the reasons they become millionaires is because at an early age, they determined their number. Now, they may adjust the number upward with success and with time, but they start off with a number, and then they do the A-B method. They say, is what I'm doing right now with my time and my money moving me closer to my number, or is it moving me away? And they only do A things that move them away. They're very fastidious about only doing the A things that get them out of debt and start moving them toward financial independence. So where does the number come from? Well, I began teaching this a decade ago. About 3 or 4 years ago, there's a best-selling book called The Number. And if you go onto many of the websites now, they use the same thing, The Number. Well, the number is very simple. You calculate how much you would need to live for a month if you had no income at all. Now, this will change over time. When your kids all grow up and move away and you move into a smaller home, your number will go down. When your kids are in school, your number's higher. But just sort of take a rough calculation today. Say, well, I would need, say, $3,000 a month to live today if I had no income. For $3,000 a month, I would be able to cover rent, insurance, groceries, gasoline, everything else, right? So what I choose to use is $5,000 because it's an easier number. So you say $5,000 a month. That means, and then you ask yourself, how long could you live today with your current savings? How long could you survive? What's your burn rate? What's your survival rate? So you say, well, I've got $10,000 altogether saved up in 401ks and so on, which means that you could live 2 months. Now, your job now is to start to increase that number. So you say, all right, how much would I have to retire? The answer is I'd have to have $5,000 a month times a year is $60,000. $60,000 times 20 years. And the best financial advisors will tell you that you need 20 years of savings put aside because you're going to live for such a long time. So therefore, I would need 20 times 60, which is $1,200,000, whether it's in Social Security, 401ks, savings, value of my house. I need $1,200,000 in order to be able to stop working, in order to make working optional. Most people will continue working into their 65, 70, 75 because they enjoy working and they're busy and they're healthy and they're active.
It's interesting,
But you want the choice. The choice is you got to get your number. If you get to your number, then you can choose what you do. So the simplest of all ways to do it, by the way, is take your monthly net and multiply it by 240. That's 20 years.
Okay.
So let's say it's $1,200,000. Well, then you say, all right, how much am I worth today? If I was to sell everything, garage sale, and move away, how much would I take with me? Be really honest. And for many people, it's a negative number. But it doesn't really matter. I'll start off with a negative number. And then you say, all right, my goal is to have $1,200,000 by this date. And you give yourself a reasonable time. Some people give themselves 10 years. Some people give themselves 20, 25. But set a goal. And then you come back to the present day and say, all right, what's the first thing I need to do to reach my number in X number of years? What's the first thing I need to do? What's the first step? First step, I need to set up a separate bank account where I put in my savings, even if I only save a dollar a day. And we say start saving 1% of your income each month and living on the other 99%. If you do that, you'll find that you can adjust to that fairly quickly. Once you've adjusted, increase it to 2%, live on 98%.
Mm-hmm.
In a year, you'll be up to 10% savings, living on 98%. Meanwhile, start paying off your debts. Pay off your debts, the smallest ones first. This is the Dave Ramsey method, which I think is really smart.
Right, yes. Yes.
Yeah, pay off the smallest ones first so you get a sort of a feeling of accomplishment, a feeling of forward motion, and then just pay them off. Write them all down, write down every single debt you learn, you owe, and resolve to pay off the lowest one, then the second one, then the third one, and you keep doing that, and pretty soon you get into the habit and also the pleasure of seeing your debts decline and your bank account starts to grow.
Mm.
And it's like turning around a big ship. If you've been in debt for a long time, people say, I decided to get out of debt, and it took me 2 years. It took me 3 years. It took
so
me
they
two
decided.
And a half years.
They
it
decided.
Took a long time.
Big key right there. They decided to do it.
Yes.
And one of the things in the DVDs that, or the CDs that that Brian Tracy is offering in the special offer, he talks about the four Ds that will improve the overall quality of your life. There's so many great pieces, so many great takeaway nuggets in that CD set. It's really amazing. So, and I'm not going to tell you all of them now, but one of them is the decision. I mean, you make the decision to, as you said, get rid of debt. Here's a question that's coming in from Anna from Pittsburgh, who is a yoga instructor, and she lives in an area where people aren't willing to pay big dollars for private teaching, and she's not making enough from the classes and the studios that she teaches. What should someone like Anna do?
Well, there's three ways that you can change your income, and if she wants an answer, here they are.
Okay.
Number one is you can go. You can do something else. You can do something else that pays more, that is in more demand. Every company that has a sale to sell off excess inventory is admitting that there's not sufficient demand for what I offered, so we have to cut the price.
Okay.
Number two, you can cut your price. You can charge less,
mm-hmm.
which nobody wants to do. And number three, you can move somewhere else where there's greater demand for what it is that you're currently doing. Those are the three things. Nobody ever needs to be unemployed. Virtually all unemployment or underemployment is voluntary. It's people, because of acts of commission and omission, are unemployed. There are some people, Lisa, that you know who are never unemployed. They're never unemployed, no matter what, from
right,
the time they were 15 or 16, they had two or three jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Today,
mm-hmm.
they're never unemployed. They lose one job, they got another job before they get home.
Right, right.
And there's other people who are unemployed all the time. It's simply a mindset. The people who are never unemployed, they attract into their life opportunities to work, and they're new, and they're always doing something different. They try this, they try that, the market
shifts. It's a good
shift.
Point. It's all the same economy for all both of those sets of people as well. It's the same economy for the unemployed, and it's the same economy for the employed. It's just a matter of what your decision is around it. There's been a lot of news about the stock markets and the new recession coming on and all of these types of things. How do you approach that type of news, Brian?
Well, you have to take it with a grain of salt. There's also some other news. There's 3 million job offerings going begging right now.
Mm.
I just finished a talk for Career Builder. Career Builder
mm-hmm.
is a $700 million company that posts job listings for employers all over the country. And it's a $700 million business. They charge employers a certain amount to post the job offering, and their business is going as strong as it ever has. And they have hundreds of people who are telemarketers who are calling companies to take job listings because so many companies are looking for so many people. But the people they're looking for, and this comes out of the University of Chicago, is the problem in America is not an income gap, it's a skills gap. It's not an income gap, it's a skills gap. The problem is not that people are earning too much or too little, it's that people either have skills that are in demand, like a store that is selling a product that people want to buy, or they have skills that are not in demand. I was talking to you about my Earn What You're Worth book. Is what people have to realize is it's sort of like in technology. If it exists, it's obsolete. Anything that exists today will be replaced by something faster, better, and cheaper within 6 months.
Right, yeah.
If you look at women's fashions change every year. The stuff that looked great last year goes to the back of your closet this year. Clothes change, restaurant change. A friend of mine just opened a chain of tea shops called Teavana. They went from zero to 135 branches. They went from a few dollars
wow.
to several to 125 million. They're
wow.
planning to go to 1,000 shops, and they're going to compete with Starbucks.
Selling tea.
Yes, it's because they sell beautiful clothes. classical, imported tea. They've got a variety of teas. And more people, like their tea houses in places like China, Japan, Korea, other parts of the world, tea houses are huge. Well, they reckon that there's a huge market for tea here. But there wasn't a market 5 or 10 years ago. Just like for Starbucks, there wasn't a market 20 years ago.
Right, right. The tea houses are great.
So I do yoga. I've taken yoga lessons. I think yoga is wonderful. But yoga, unfortunately, in some areas, people can't afford it. And at other times, it's considered a luxury. They just don't have the money for it at this time.
You can do it at home yourself. Yeah,
you can do it at home yourself.
Huh.
And so what you have to do is say, well, but I've trained for yoga, and I've taken all these courses, and I've been doing it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes, the horse, the people who rode horses and buggies had developed fabulous skills controlling horses from the back of the buggy. But when the automobile industry came along in a few years, they were just simply memories.
Wow.
And one of the things you have to do is think, well, what else can I do? Or where else can I do it? Or do I need to change my prices?
Be flexible, change. You said that on the CD set. I remember that. Another person, this is Bruce from Florida, is saying that he has a construction business and work has been very slow. So he wants to go back to school to find a new trade but still has to support his family. How can he juggle it all?
Well, you're in a situation where you're going to have to make some real sacrifices. The fact is, if you're in construction, you're probably a pretty tough guy. You've got lots of energy, so you can juggle two things. You may have to cut down on your lifestyle. You may have to take a part-time job in order to support yourself. But with regard to the construction industry, especially if you're in the home industry, we've now got an overhang of 9 million empty or foreclosed homes in the U.S. The real market for home building will not come back for 9 years. And if according to demographics, there will not be that many people buying houses. As the pig in the python is passing. The major area, the major time in people's lives when they buy homes is passing. There may never be a big home construction industry again.
Hmm.
But the wonderful thing is if you build a home, which is a very complex piece of construction, you can probably learn how to do anything. And so it's really important you go back to school is find out what you need to master in order to be a valuable contributor to your economy. Look in the newspapers. If you like, go on to Career Builder and look at what people are advertising for. Look what people want. Go and do some investigation. I teach a program called Creative Job Search, which says go out and interview employers and ask them, what kind of skills are you looking for? They'll tell you. What kind of people do you want? What are the most invaluable? Where's the market moving? And develop a skill. I've worked with people who've gotten out of one field that has died, gone back to school for a year, gotten into another field, and they were earning three times as much as they ever earned in their life. And they said, losing that job basically saved my life. It forced me to really get serious about upgrading my skills. Other than that, the natural tendency for human beings is inertia. We coast. We just keep coasting. We just keep going on the same way forever. We get into a comfort zone. But the problem with coasting, Lisa, is that you can only do it in one direction.
Oh, that's a good point. I mean, that's a great point.
It's a great point.
I'm a big fan of everything that Brian's talking about all happens with the power of perception. And from that power comes all these incredible possibilities, but we are not raised and taught these specific types of things. And the really amazing way to educate yourself and to learn how to shift your thinking and to get that information that absolutely, if applied, will completely change your life. And there's so many different ways to do it. It's all about the power of your perception around it. And that's basically what the law of attraction is about. And the special offer, I was looking at it. If you click on it, theawareshow.com/Tracy. Brian, you have added so many incredibly valuable things into this, folded it all in. It's incredible. It's not just the 6 CD set on the power of clarity. There's so many other bonuses that are in there for you guys. It's awesome. Double your productivity, double your time off is one of the bonuses. The law of attraction and action is another one. Discovering your talents. I mean, there's so many things in this offer. It's enormous. And I thank you so much for putting that together, because to discount that was just incredible. So thank you so much. I mean, it's a huge package. I'm going to click on it and get it myself, because I want to get these other things, these other bonuses as well that I know are, you know, individually priced on your website. So it only lasts for two short days, and then after that, you won't find this anywhere else on the internet. So I appreciate what you put together for us, and I could talk to you all day long. I know our time has kind of run out here, but in terms of what you were talking about, there's seven proven ways to control your thinking and to keep it that way. There's 4 D's that will improve the overall quality of your life. There's the keys to activate the law of attraction in your life. These are things that the notes that I took off, the 7 R's of simplification, how to simplify your life, how to really choose. And this is practical advice. I completely hear what you're saying. And then how to, what Brian was just talking about shifting a career, scary for a lot of people, but on this, what I gained from the CDs was why it's important and why and how to do it. Because once you realize why it's important and you make the decision to do it, the how becomes, the doors open. And it's pretty incredible what you've put together here, and all that you talk about is really very, very helpful. Thought times emotion equals reality.
Right.
That's what it is, right?
Well, the biggest fear that people have today or at any time is the fear of failure. Mm. Is they're afraid that they may lose their time or lose their money. They may lose their investment. They may be ridiculed or embarrassed. And what we have found is that the fear of failure actually settles in the solar plexus, and it's contained in the words, I can't, I can't, I can't. It goes back to early childhood. When a child is destructively criticized, they grow up fearing failing. And so when they become adults and they think of something new or different or challenging, they start to get fearful, I can't. So one of the most helpful things that I've learned, and I've been teaching this for 30 years, is to counteract that feeling with the positive words, I can do it. I can do it.
I'm laughing because we have a swear jar in our house.
Yes.
And for every swear word that mommy says, it's a dollar. But I can't is a swear word. So everybody has to put a dollar in the jar every time they say the word I can't in this house. So we really have, I mean, my 8-year-old controls the jar. So.
That's wonderful, because if you keep saying it, the wonderful thing is, like when we talk about reprogramming your mind, whatever you think about, you become what you think about most of the time, and whatever you think about comes about. But also, you become what you say to yourself. So if you keep saying to yourself, I can do it, I can do it, I can do anything I put my mind to, I can do it, I can do this. If you keep saying that to yourself, it's sort of like a teeter-totter. Your fears start to go down, and your courage and confidence start to go up. You start off with high levels of fear and low levels of confidence, but you keep saying, I like myself, and I can do it. I can do it. And your confidence starts to go up, and pretty soon you are ready to give it a try. And then as you take action, your self-confidence goes up again, and you get ideas and feedback. So it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy and an upward spiral in life.
Really,
you control it.
You make I can do it one of your passwords on all of your random membership sites out there.
Yes.
Then every time you enter it in, you're reaffirming yourself, I can do it.
My
daughter actually taught me that.
Well, that's a wonderful idea.
That's a great idea.
Another thing, it sounds like you teach your children. That's wonderful. The greatest thing you can teach your children is self-confidence. And the way you teach them self-confidence, I have 4 grown children now. I tell them all that you can do it. You can do anything you put your mind to.
Mm-hmm.
You can do that. You can do this. You can do that. And if they fail at something, and they'll fail 1,000 times, you say, oh, well, you learned something. Try again. Doesn't matter. Failure is never final. Try it again. Give it a shot. And so they finally, all my kids have grown up, and they absolutely know they're going to be a big success in life. And it's starting to happen one after another. The first 2 of them are starting to see. The 3rd one just finished school, and is now starting his whole new career. And he has absolute, complete self-confidence.
I love that phrase, failure is never final. What a great phrase.
Yes.
I love that phrase.
Failure is never final. And it's impossible to succeed without failing. So the more often you fail, the faster you succeed.
That's another really good one. You're filled with these gems. I love talking to you. I could talk to you all day. Okay, it's impossible to succeed without failing. I can't write fast enough. All right, Brian, you are awesome. Thank you for giving us your time and your wisdom and your gems. And for more, if you want hours and hours of listening to Brian's incredible information, go to the that website, which is theawareshow.com/Tracy. Immerse yourself in this information. Bring along your family and friends and make any shifts and changes that you want. It requires a constant reminder like this. And if you take this on for the 7 or 8 hours or however many hours it would take you to listen to this and absorb this content, it will shift the way that it will make significant, wonderful changes in your life. So thank you again so much, and I appreciate you and all that you've done for all the people out there that have gained your content and information for through the decades, and I hope to talk with you again soon.
Wonderful. Thank you, and thank you all for listening. Remember, whatever you want to do, you can do it. Just put your heart and soul into it, and nothing can stop you.
Awesome. All right. Thank you again. Take good care.
Thank you, Lisa.
All right. And for those of you on the listening right now online, check on the special offer right there. It's that big orange button. Just click on the special offer. You can get all the details about Brian's package and all of the bonuses. The bonuses is incredible. You could get the CD set for this value from Brian's website, but what he and his team have put together for this particular call just for you listeners, just for the Aware Show listeners, for a very, very limited amount of time, are all these other incredible bonuses. That, I mean, just that one, the Law of Attraction in Action, I took 3 pages of typed notes from, and very, very, I mean, stuff that I'm reiterating so it becomes memory. Really, really great stuff. So, all right, well, you guys, immerse yourself, dive in, enjoy, and until next time, I invite you all to stay aware.